It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Joseph Firecrow is a modern Grammy Award-winning musician, but the traditions he draws upon in his music are ancient. He is of Northern Cheyenne descent, and he plays the traditional wooden flute. On Thursday, he'll be speaking and performing at Iowa State University in the sunroom of the Memorial Union at 7 p.m. His program is Native Stories and Flute Music of the Great Plains. It's free and open to the public. Hello, Joseph.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's good to be here.
And I think before we start talking, I would love for you to play us a little something so that those of us who haven't heard your music can get familiar with what you do.
Okay, here comes a flute. Tough Ben, the wooden flute.
Joseph Firecrow playing his wooden flute. And is this a kind of music that you grew up hearing?
As a little boy on the reservation, it's located in southeastern Montana, the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. In the evening time, we would hear the flute men playing their flutes, and it kind of just relaxed you. And it was the end of the day, and then the storytelling from the grandparents or, you know, my father, they would tell stories. And even before radio and all that, this was a very important time to come together as family and to really enjoy each other's presence at the end of the day and then get ready for a good rest.
Before you actually learned to play the flute, you learned to make flutes, right?
Yes. When I went to college, my alma mater is Brigham Young University, John Rayner was my mentor, and he was teaching a Native American music class, and he incorporated the wooden flutes at that time, and he taught everyone, from the boys to the girls. There was, you know, maybe 20 people or so. And he taught us four singing songs, and that was half our grade. And then the other half, if we could make a flute, that would just make a sound. And that was the other half of our grade. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, and clearly it became a pretty powerful experience for you because it changed the trajectory of your life. What was it about that experience that made you want more?
Well, it was the ability to get away from the sheet music. You know, I played the trumpet from fourth grade and up into college, and I like that ability to. Well, just to improv, but to, you know, just to do what the instrument would do itself. And it was so beautiful and evoked strong emotions. And I remembered it when I was young, and it just seemed to come together. And I really, really enjoyed playing it.
The stories that you talked about, the people from the Northern Cheyenne sharing in the evenings and the music. Are these all part of an auditory tradition, or is there written music that you could learn to play?
Well, in the old days, in the time before my grandfathers, the oral tradition was very much alive, and it's still alive today. And that's how we prefer to teach these stories and these songs, this music. And there is music structure as well. And today, we write our music down. We also record it. And we've crossed over into all genres of music, from rap, hip-hop, to rock and roll, and classical. So we're covering the gamut of all the musical styles that are there. But it's important to remember the oral tradition, and it is a living tradition, and it's rich and full, and it very colorful. You can paint awesome things, just not at the landscape, but the animals and people, and even the stars, moon, sun, everything.
There's a story about the origin of the flute. Can you share that with us?
Oh yes. I recently had the great opportunity of performing with the Boise Philharmonic in Nampa and Boise earlier this month. And it tells about the story of how the flute came to the people. The composer, his name is Jim Cocky, and the conductor, Robert Franz, really helped us get this story to the people. And the story starts like this. Long ago, there was a young man named Twin, because he was a twin. And he went hunting into the Powder River country. He had a successful hunt, but on his journey home, he was caught by the dark, and he was forced to seek refuge near some sand rocks. He set up camp, and he built a fire, and he ate. Then he heard a sound floating across the hills, and he became afraid, because he'd never heard this sound before. It was beautiful. He went to sleep, and in his dream he heard something above him in the sand rocks. He heard hooves scraping the sand rocks above him. It was the elk. And the elk spoke to him, and he said, "I have a gift for you. Take this gift with you and share it. You are bringing a wonderful gift to all the people." In the morning he awoke, and he went to the top of the sand rocks to where he had heard the elk, and lying there, wrapped in sage, was a bone flute. He took this flute with him, and he continued on home. The elk had instructed him on how to use it and when to use it, of how he was to play it for all the people, especially in the evening times. The elk also instructed him on what he should do with this gift when he was done in this life, that when he would go back home to Creator, that this flute should be taken back to where it was given to him. And so, upon his death, this flute was taken back to the sand rocks. Twin had followed through with this wonderful gift, and with his life, he had spread love, the gift of the elk.
In Northern Cheyenne tradition, it was the warriors that carried flutes. Why is that?
In a simple time, and sometimes very harsh, a warrior did not have time to be too compassionate. And so this was kind of balanced him out as a warrior, that he could show his softer side. And he would play his flute for the love of not just his wife, but his children and his grandparents and the land and the animals, and especially the love he has for the other warriors. And in doing so, he was helping heal each other, their wounds and their spiritual side. And so all young men carried flutes, and It was used not only in courtship, but it was also used to call people to the ceremony, to the dance, and also just for the simple enjoyment of the people. And coming from the warrior, it had very strong meaning. And I asked a question to my elders, why just the men and not the women? Why don't women play flutes? And the answer was simple and direct, and it was this: they do not need them. Just like that.
When you're performing on Thursday, your program is Native Stories and Flute Music of the Great Plains. Have you gone beyond your own tribal traditions to incorporate the traditions of other groups?
Yes. Every now and then someone will ask me to learn a sunrise song from the Zuni or, a war dance from the Lakota. And so I will do that. And a lot of these songs are very specific and usually from the social spectrum, not the ceremonial. Ceremony is for a given time, given place, and usually anything that's social isn't really around the ceremonial thing. And so what I concentrate on is the social aspect of what these songs are and what their meaning is and how to do them. And they want you to do it just right and not to change it up too much, maybe in tempo or a little bit of rhythm here, but you try to stay close to how you learned it. And, that way we keep the integrity, the authenticity, the genuineness of this wonderful art form, but it is a living form. And so when I'm called to do that, sure. At the same time, we got the modern stuff that's coming around and a modern melody coming, like, say, from me, traditionally based. One day this song will be considered a traditional song, and it'll be long after we're gone. And it's important to remember not to go too far. We don't want to upset our elders too much, but that happens from time to time.
How many people are keeping these traditions alive? I mean, clearly you're very high profile and you've done a great deal to preserve these traditions. Is there a strong community of musicians with the Northern Cheyenne and with other tribes who are playing these traditional flutes?
Oh, very, very much. There's always somebody doing something. And whether, it's the drum groups, the singing groups, the dancing, and especially the storytelling and how to make flutes. That is really important. And the full complement of a flute man is not just having the ability to play a flute, but it's the ability to make one. And the elders are always watching you to make sure that you do this right. And when you're following your heart and this is your passion, they realize that you're the one that's going to be carrying the flute. And so then the information that comes with it. And it comes in bits and pieces. And the reason why is the elders want to make sure that you're decent with this and honest, very honest with this information, and that you're going to be there for the people, not to make it all about yourself. And that's where the real, the recognition of the elders is so, so important. And when they realize that you're giving them the honor, because that's where it literally comes from. They've been keeping this around all their lives. They want to make sure that it's there for the following generations to come. And so when they see a person that has got a good heart and a good medicine with them, then they will give them the fullness of this living tradition, whether it be drumming, singing, or flutes. And I'm just talking from the social part. And then the rest, especially the ceremonial or even the warrior societies that make up the people. And so I can go back home on the reservation and I will speak to our flute men and say hello and, you know, exchange ideas or just, you know, play a song for each other. And at the same time, you know, when you're coming up the ranks, so to speak, they want to test you. And so they may say, make me a flute out of this. And hopefully you can. And you know, then you go, here you go. And that's happened to me in my younger years as I was becoming a flute man. And, you know, it's there are some tribes that have lost so much that one of the things that they lost were they're given flute songs and the stories that come with them, even the ability to make them. And so that's why we really need to keep doing this. And most of all, to recognize our elders.
Joseph Firecrow, thank you so much for talking with me today.
You bet.
Would you play something for us as we end the program today and tell me what you're going to play?
Well, I would actually like to sing a song.
Okay.
The songs that come with our flutes are called wolf songs. And this song, I dedicate it to my wife. Her name is Joanne. And she's from the Italian tribes, Sicilian. And the words in this song say this: I walk with you, and that is enough. I kiss you, and it is good. I walk with you, and that is enough. I am with you, and it is good. We are, 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 we are.
Joseph Firecrow, a Grammy Award-winning musician. He is of Northern Cheyenne descent, and he'll be speaking and performing at Iowa State University in the Sunroom of the Memorial Union on Thursday at 7 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa.
We are.